Man, y'all see this Russell Wilson traded to the Broncos?
Yeah. I mean, he gonna automatically upgrade him. I'll give him that. I think it's a good move for both teams. I think Seattle kind of need to destroy and rebuild. I think they do well to kind of strip a lot of things down.
No, but they stripping down. They said Tyler Lockett on the trading block now.
Seattle been good for so long that they got to start over, right?
You're right. They haven't managed it as well as some other successful teams.
They might as well let Pete Carroll go then. I mean, Pete Carroll like 78.
Pete probably about to leave anyways. Yeah, he probably, especially with them rebuilding, he's probably about to just be like, ah, you know what? I ain't here for no rebuild. I helped build this thing, you know.
Yeah, he'll probably coach the one bad year, get the swan song, and then they'll get the new coach. They'll get a new quarterback and
right
do that move.
That's what Carroll got two. Carroll got two rings, right?
No, or
what's it? One. Just one.
Should have right? had two.
One and a half.
I got one.
He gave the other one away.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't want Marshawn to be the MVP, so that's what you get. Fuck the Seahawks.
Y'all already think that's what it was, though?
It didn't make sense, bro. Like, if you rewatch that game, and I saw it not that long ago, actually. I think, like, sometime last year, and I was watching it, and I was like, yeah, I remember. You know, they kind of had put the option away. They hadn't really used it a lot. And then, towards the end of the game, they pulled it back out, and it was being super successful. So it was like, shit, y'all ran it all the way down here, and you got the opportunity to win, and then you doing this. We did the same thing. San Fran did the same thing against Baltimore. You know, when we came back in that game, bro, we had them. We ran it all the way down the field to about the 6-yard line, and then we threw the ball four times in a row with two timeouts left. It didn't make sense.
Larry, I thought y'all was gonna make a move on one of those quarterbacks.
They can't. They got to just develop Lance until he's ready, and then you just trade Jimmy G. But
yeah, Jimmy G probably more than likely, because we gotta say the cap space. You gotta remember Kittle's the most. He's the highest paid tight end. We gotta pay Bosa.
You got to pay Debo soon too.
Yeah, Debo. Right. So I'm saying there's quite a few guys that got to get paid. I think Debo is, him and Bosa, I think, same draft class, if I'm not mistaken. So we can't afford to keep Jimmy. Jimmy's got to go.
Jimmy getting paid way too much money anyway.
I mean, we say that, but now that's almost damn near standard now. So.
And he getting 40?
No. Jimmy's getting like 20-something.
I thought one year he was on the cap for 40.
Nah. Like I said, I think Jimmy's somewhere around the 20-something range. But I mean, we traded up to get Trey Lance. I mean, you can't sacrifice that and then not be aggressive in moving him in place. You know what I mean? Especially like I say, with some of your young talent contracts on the horizon, we got to retain Debo. We got to retain Bosa. So you retain those two, you go ahead and get rid of Jimmy G to help the cap space, and you move on with Trey. That's just what it is. You know, we let him sit on the bench. We let him learn from the sidelines. He played like 2.5 games, I think, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe 3. So, yeah, you know, that's just the vibes now. You know, that's just what you got to do. It's financial, too.
X, where you at? The Tootsie's back room?
Yeah, they got X got his own room in the back.
Nah, X, you in the Tootsie's back room, boy?
Nah, I'm not at Tootsie's.
Oh shit.
I should have went to Tootsie's today.
Yeah, he's saving a couple of dollars, you know. What would you think? What you think your average patronage is the Tootsie's per week?
I don't even know, man.
It one of them things you don't want to think about. I know I used to go to a bar. I used to go to a bar so much, bro. And I started doing the math, and I was like, cuz I don't want to do this math no more. After I realized how much I was giving them people, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, when you think about it, then that kind of prevents you from going. Yeah,
right. When you think about it worked. You know, I don't go there like that no more. Like now I really only go to the bar. I think I really only go to the bar like what? Thursday and Friday. Most Fridays, not every Friday. Pretty much every Thursday and probably every other Friday.
I'm good with the bartenders, man. So like I don't spend the same that everybody else would spend.
Allegedly.
You know, so when I get in there, man, they probably might not charge me for drinks at all. They'll just charge me for food, and then I just end up tipping good.
Allegedly, you
know,
allegedly.
So that's how I be vibing, man. I tip good, you know what I'm saying? When you tip good, you know, they show you love. So.
Right, but yeah, I'm sure they charge you for drinks because, you know, they owner wouldn't want them giving away free drinks. So.
Well, yeah. They charge. I mean, like I say, man, it depends, man. Like, sometimes, man, I go in there, the bill would be $150, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, man, I know I drunk a whole lot more than that. Yeah, yeah.
$150 every time you there?
I just threw a number, but I feel you though. I've been in that same position, where I know like I said, the bill might be $150. I know I drink $150, just based on the prices and like maybe I bought a few rounds. So I'm like,
my girl, you know, she know when we go out, man, and we drink, she be like, damn, you're not gonna stop drinking.
Because it costs so much to drink out. You know what I mean? That's why, I feel on that tip. But I'm like you though. Once the vibes is good, I'm like, bro, I'm drinking, bro. It is.
Yeah, 150. That's 4.5 bottles of Hennessy.
Exactly. Keep it right.
Going, keep it going. Yeah, I mean, cause you know, listen. The crazy thing is the way the economy going now. To go buy a bottle at the store, the price went up so much. It went up to like $46, $47 for a bottle of Hennessy for a fifth. You know what I'm saying? So you just think if you go out to a spot, man, and they charging probably, let's say $7, $8 for a drink for a Hennessy, and you get like 6-7 drinks, you almost at that buying a bottle at the store.
And like you said, when you go to bartenders, they're making healthy drinks, like, good healthy drinks too.
Just go do your thing.
And you can't put a dollar amount on vibes.
You there you go.
That's what people fail to realize. They be like, man, you spend all that to drink. I'm like, bro, you're not paying for the drinks. It's always cheaper to drink at home. I'm paying for the vibes. It's all like, duh. Like, that's why I don't go out as much, because I'm like, well, you know, Larry, you just can't afford the vibe that much, like, to just soak up good vibes of that nature all the time. So, I mean, I'm a daily drinker, but, like, I was like, look, you can't do that bar every day, because it just runs up too much.
That's like, you know, the little saying that they be like, oh, man, why you go to the club and you buy the bottle, and it's like, you're not... It's not that you're paying for the bottle. It's like you're paying to avoid keep going back to the bar.
Right, yo.
keep the waitress from keep coming back and forth. Like,
paying for convenience.
All right, man. Because at the end of the day, if you think about it, you're really going to spend that same amount. Plus, you're tipping the waitress. So it's like, well, I might as well just get the bottle. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Instead of keep going back and forth.
That's real.
And then when you drunk at home with no vibes, you got to make a phone call to try to make your night better, and then you're one anyway.
They get caught up.
Yeah, see what's going on with that. If she feeling it, if she with it, you'd be like, man. And like I said, it ain't even. It's the vibes, man. Vibes is just a good environment. It's not necessarily like sex. It's just a good vibe all around. It's like, oh man, Everybody having a good time. Right. The vibrations is just high on some real chill shit.
Good music.
Yeah,
the vibe working cool. Home, man. You know, everybody be like, oh, man, I could do that at home. Yeah, it's always good to do it at home. But guess what, man? Let's just go out and vibe. Well, we don't have to just do it at home, right?
Right. My home ain't built for, you know, a dozen, two dozen beautiful women and the homies. And nah, it ain't built for all that. That's why you go out.
X, I seen on Twitter, when that was, Friday, she had a 20-shot challenge.
20 shots?
Nah, that was a Friday. That was Saturday.
Saturday, yeah. He talking about something. He got to make it to 20.
I mean, I could do it, but sheesh. I ain't get that.
I was trying.
What you got to?
Huh?
What you got to?
I definitely get to 20, probably maybe. I don't even know. I got close, not to 20 close, but I got up there.
15.
What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up? Welcome back. Another episode of 26 Degrees. Right back like we left our car keys, you feel me? I mean, pat yourself down. You know what I mean? Feel yourself like that. Sometimes you got to do that. You know what I mean? If you don't, who will? Today is your day. You about to crush that bitch. You know what I mean? Every obstacle in your way is really just in your mind, bro. Real talk, man. I just want to kick it off with some positive vibes today. I don't know why that's my mood. Maybe it's because I'm going through some shit myself personally right now. That's probably what it is. But I still feel triumphant. Like, it's a small thing to a giant. Like, this shit ain't nothing. About to knock this out and be moving on to the next deal. But, yeah, it's your boy Larian, man. Here with the crew. The whole team's here. Always with me. As usual, is my man, Miggy Measy. Meezy, say what up to the people, bro.
Man, what's up, y'all, ladies and gents? 26 degrees. We here with y'all. Got a couple of cats in the background with us today. You know, we got a couple cats in the background, but it's all good, man. We chilling, man. We cool. And like Larry on said, small cool. Things to a giant, man. Everybody got some stuff going on. Small things to a giant. Keep going. We got this real field general, X in the building, man. What's up with your X?
What's up, fellas?
Hey.
What's up, fellas?
Yo, X in limbo.
No, not today, no Hennessy. Today I'm on ABK6 XO.
Okay. I ain't never heard of that.
It's something different. I mean, it's
how is
it's
it?
It's a cognac. I mean, it's good. It's smooth. Okay. But it, you know, it's on point though, man. So
that's what it is. I'm on some, Barrel Armida. It's a bourbon. It's aged in pear brandy cask. The other one is a Jamaican rum. And the third bourbon is aged in Italian wine. And then they blend them all together.
Are you on a little bit of the sweet side today, Larry?
I mean, it's still a bourbon, so I mean, it's, you know, yeah, it's sweet, but it ain't nothing sweet about it. You know what I mean? A bitch 112 proof, you know, so it got that kick, right? Got that burn. Yeah. You gonna feel that this? Right. Yeah, I'm about to refill, but it is for something that strong. It is actually pretty smooth for something that's, you know, at that high of alcohol percentage. So,
But bourbons are normally smooth though.
Yeah, the good ones, yeah, absolutely. If it got a little burn in your bourbon, I mean, maybe a little bit on the back end on some of the really high ABV ones. But in general, yeah, you're right. You want a really smooth finish where you get to pick up the aftertaste of, you know, whatever the palette is supposed to be. Anyways, well, actually, real quick, what you want, Meezy? You drink anything?
I'm on a little taking it easy today. I'm some Bud Light Lime with some cherry grenadine splashed into it.
You take it easy, man. We don't need you going off on the kids tomorrow, man.
Exactly. Because I'm with them kids bright and early.
Right.
Get some mornings. I'm gonna snap at them kids. Like, man, y'all know the night I had last night.
But we got our producer with us, man. You know, back again like he never left. Our guy Maul. What's going on, Maul?
Man, it's been a transition week for me, man. I'm stay at home dad right now, daddy daycare over here. I got a 12-week-old and it's been good, man. But so ain't no drinks over here. I'm just drinking them good vibes right now.
I get it, dog. I don't have kids, but I admire the responsibility. That's funny because like whenever I got my nephews, well, they're all getting old now, but when they were younger, yeah, I'd be like, I tighten up them, like, nah, I can't do it, man. You know, maybe if I take them to like Applebee's or something like that, I might have like one tall beer, maybe. That's it. And I'm like, all right.
Young kids be watching too. Like, Uncle Larry, are you okay?
Yeah.
Kids be watching.
The funny part is my nephews and niece love when I'm drunk. They be like, bro, you are right. Like, they already think I'm funny, but like, they know like drunk up, they know drunkle is something different. They be like, yo, my uncle is a madman. So, shout out to all of them. Matter of fact, let me shout them out, man. Shout out to my nephew Joshua, who passed away. Rest in peace, boy. You know I love you. Then we got nephew Ray. The knucklehead of the family, man. I love you to death, young boy. I want you to do better, Kalen. Shane, that's my rider, man. The biggest Kobe Bryant fan you ever gonna meet. And the baby girl Chandler, man. That's
you got like, a few of them.
Yeah. Well, that's just from my sister, bro. I ain't gonna get too deep into it, but like I got two brothers from my dad, right? I never even met
him. You remember him saying last time, like he got a whole clique.
Yeah,
like, that's just one clique. He got like two more cliques.
A few more, yeah, man. Yeah, I got a very blended family. That's just from my sis. You know, we share the same mom and we grew up, you know, closer together in that respect. So, shout out to the kids, man. It's funny because, like,
my nieces and nephew, man, they be like, every time they see me, they be like, Uncle Wes, where the drink at? I be like,
it's all love, though, but yeah. It's funny, man. Like, I was gonna say it's funny just watching like the personalities and how they pop up with my sister's always hitting me up like, boy, your niece just like you, boy, your nephew just like you, like, and we just both like, it's funny because what she means is my niece and my nephew, we both have like kind of that dry sense of humor, sarcastic bite to us, man. So, you know, we'll snipe you more than we'll just like rip your head off. So you may not catch it, but we just took a little shot at you and just like knocked your head off your shoulders. So, that's dope. But anyways, let's get a little into the show, man. What we're gonna do today? The last show we broke down the offense, you know, pre-spring, just kind of get into what we kind of preview coming up, where we see players standing early in the spring. Of course, spring ball just kicked off, the 7th, so that was the first day that they got some work in, and we intend on coming back and giving you guys a show on that as well. But before that, we want to do something similar like the last show where we just kind of go down position by position and just kind of break down our views of the defense early before things get going. I'll tell you right now, I'm way more concerned about the defense than the offense. I think the offense honestly has way more weapons, way more pieces, and I think they'll be okay under the right tutelage. And it's not that I think the defense is going to be bad. I'm just not sure about some of the star power at every position. So we're going to kind of roll through that and get into, you know, a little breakdown of each of those. Before we get into that, real quick, we'll mention we had, actually, as we're recording today, a few hours ago, commitment from an offensive lineman out of Maryland. Let me get young boy's name.
Antonio Tripp.
Antonio Tripp. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, interior.
Antonio Tripp, he's going to be a guard, 6'3", 300 pounds.
I like it.
But he's actually up my way, Owens Mill, Maryland, so I'm going to go check him out.
Yeah, he's definitely up the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a composite four-star. 247 has him as a four-star.
He's the 12th rated interior offensive lineman in the nation.
Okay.
6'3", like I say, 6'3", 300 pounds. I was literally standing next to him on Monday. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at him. I was like, damn, that guy looked like a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
And I didn't know he was the kid. Like, I'm like, oh, he's a kid. When he's committed, I'm like, oh, that's him. I'm standing next to him. And he muscle. Like he got muscles.
Yeah, big kid, but carries the weight well, man. At 6'3", 300. Has good body composition. You know, like you say, he's gonna kick inside. I think, you know, we'll see how it ultimately plays out. I think he's a guy that may, you know, fit in at center as well. You know, you see how O-line shapes up down the road. It's still very early, and O-line is definitely the most developmental position.
Man, shouts out to what Mario and Coach Marlon was able to do in that moment, because like the kids say, man, you're like, man, for the coach to call me and talk to me on the day that he got to bury his mom, you know what I'm saying? That showed real, you know what I'm saying, humility. Like, man, I respect this coach because he really mean business, you know what I'm saying, on the day that he got to lay his mama to rest.
Yeah, it's commitment, dedication. You know, and like he said, you know, we spoke on that last show. Again, we want to, you know, offer condolences to the Cristobal family. And, you know, like I said, they laid their matriarch to rest. But he said, you know, that's where he gets a lot of this from, is his mother. And he's like, yeah, my mom will want me to work. And I could speak to that. I could tell you that right now. Like, I have that kind of mother that, yeah, you're going to shed your tears. You're going to feel that pain. But I guarantee you, my mom going to be like, well, ain't nothing you can do for me now. That's just how she is. So her attitude would be, keep on living, keep making me proud, you know?
Yeah, go take care of your business.
That's exactly. Keep making me proud and continue to grind on, and that's how you'll respect me. That's how you'll honor me. So, nice commitment.
That's Mario's first commitment.
I think you're right. Actually, yeah.
Right.
Gene, right?
Gene was his first.
Yeah, Gene's
the
first.
Andy Gene's the first. Antonio Tripp is the second.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, 2023's growing slowly, and we'll see how that all fleshes out. Still very early. We'll get too deep into that. Do want to mention another hire, an off-field guy, Marwan Maluf, I want to say. This guy's been in the NFL over 15 years. He's going to be and he specializes in special teams. So, to me, again, another one of those under the radar, maybe underrated hires, but definitely shows that we're spending money now. And it definitely attacks an area that, quite frankly, for Miami has been lacking for quite some time. You know, Miami used to be well known for having some explosive returners, being sound on the defensive side of kick returns. And I'll be honest with you, that's an element of our game that I think really has been lacking.
It's been horrible.
Yeah, it's just, it's been mediocre at best.
Yeah, I got a couple notes on him. He's 45 years old. Began his career as an assistant offensive line coach at Baldwin Wallace University in Ohio. Spent time in the NFL with the Ravens, the Browns, Dolphins, Vikings, Colts. He came into the NFL in 2004, so 15 years as either an assistant special teams coach or special teams coordinator. So great back pocket hire right before a spring practice for Mario. Absolutely. Great look. 45 is not old coaching, too. And to be coaching 15, to be in the league since 2004 and to only be 45, you know, right. He's still young.
Again, it's just those are the type of hires that Miami fans should be excited about, because these are the type of hires that have been made at the schools that have been more successful, at your Alabama's, Ohio State's, Clemson's, things of that nature. We have not had staff like that, and that's the difference in, you know, fine-tuning a program, the attention to detail. So it starts with recruiting. Yes, absolutely. You have to bring the talent in. But then on top of that, the top programs have guys that are specialists and analysts and really get the key in on helping your team get that much better. It's a lot of players on that team. So, you know, when it gets to trying to, you know, compete, you know, you want to you got to get in there with the big boys. I mean, honestly, you have to compete at that type of level. So, you know, that's exactly what we'd be looking for going forward. So,
right. They actually crossed paths too when Mario Cristobal was an offensive tackles and tight ends coach and Maloof was a graduate assistant. I'm forgetting what school that was at. At Rutgers
under Shiano.
Right. That's where they crossed paths at. So, like Mario always says, relationships. Relationships is huge with him, so they definitely crossed paths.
And really quick, the last 2 years, anytime special teams was on the field, if we were punting the ball, I was like, please just, you know, if we're returning a kick, just catch it. Fair catch, I'm happy.
Yep.
Or if we're trying to block a punt, just don't run into the punter. Or I bet we have at least three blocking the backs.
Our special teams was atrocious, man.
It's been really bad. So
yeah. And we have about three coaches working with special teams now. Him, and I believe there was another analyst we hired with a special teams background. His name's escaping me.
I think Dennis Smith.
Dennis Smith from Louisiana Tech, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we got a few people working with the special teams.
Period for me.
There's going to be about three other coaches doing special teams, and then I think Adai will probably be on field on game day.
Special teams as well, right? So actually, our special teams coaches really aren't on field position coaches. They're analysts, people working in the background with them, and like Miles just said, Adai probably will help work with them on the field. So yeah, we got three coaches working with the special teams, which is great. That's how bad the special teams was at Miami, probably too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's just, working with them boys.
It was, you know, it was one of those places where traditionally we've been able to, you know, it could be a game changer for us. So I love the attention to that particular detail. But
yeah, Adai will be the on field. He will be the on field special teams coach. And then you have
He's done that before, right?
Yeah, he's done that. West Virginia, at Georgia.
At Georgia as well, right? Yeah, that's what I thought. So with that said, yeah, that's kind of the most recent news. We'll kind of slide on over to the defensive side of the ball, get into a little breakdown of just kind of the same thing we did last show, expectations, who we kind of see starting, you know, maybe some question marks, guys we'd like to see step up a little bit. So
before we do that, Larry,
go ahead, bro.
I just want to ask X for the people. How's it looking out there, X? What's like the what? How's it looking out there?
Boy.
Yeah, that's before my and my fault, Larry, for cutting you off.
Don't give them too much.
What I would say, man. Okay, you know, every year we're gonna jump it up. Well, yeah, it's looking like this. This isn't it. The one thing I would say, man, it looks nothing like it did
in the last 7 years, 8 years. It looks nothing, whatever. 15, it just looks nothing like it did. Everything was about business. Everybody was serious. The players, it wasn't no joking around. After drills, it was like after drills, they was getting right back into it. Coaches was coaching. Gaddis, oh man, Coach Gaddis, he did something where he stopped the drill on the dot, like he stopped it, and he basically was like, "No, this ain't that play shit. This ain't the golf field. This ain't no like no, you gonna do this shit right." You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I saw somebody. I don't know if that was Street. I was listening to.
Yeah, that was Street. That was Street.
Yeah, he was like, "I don't care how many times we got to do this drill. We're gonna get it right."
He like, "Nah, we're gonna get it. We're gonna get it right, man." And it just looked like everything was professional and business about, you know, business. Like it looked like we got a program, a real program where it ain't no joke no more. You know what I'm saying? So even about the media, like everything with that was still, man. Like I say, man, When I got there, I was like, "Oh, I'm thinking they gonna be tripping," and they wasn't tripping, but it wasn't like normal where you could just walk up and do what you do. It was like, "Hey, these are the steps you better follow. If you don't follow, you're getting out of here." You know what I'm saying? So we were like, "All right, yeah, let's follow the steps," and they allowed us to watch practice, man. Man, all I can say is, man, competition is real, very high.
Does it look like it's a lot more coaches out there?
Goddamn. Does it? Does it? Listen, I was trying to – I walked in late, man, because I was stuck in traffic. But when I got there, I was trying to point out all the coaches. And I was like, "Well, damn, it looks like it's like 30-something coaches out there." And it was a whole bunch. And I'm telling you, like, man, we ain't even finished with coaching, so –
Yeah, I heard Mario mention that. He was like, he's basically never done with the coaching staff, pretty much. And I could just tell, though, off of you, Streeter, some other people out there, it's a different program out there, man. It's even just hearing some of the lingo out there, I'm like, yeah, this is definitely different.
Yeah, yeah. One of the positions I tweeted out on the Caneville, I say Keontra Smith is moving to money backer. That was something new for Kane fans. Kane, you know, everybody's still trying to figure out what exactly is.
Is that a striker position or
is it I guess okay.
Same position?
Okay, so what it is basically the star position in the striker position is a name that Miami really created. It wasn't supposed to be called that. It's supposed to be called star. Money backer. You know, the money backer is basically the backer who's cover slots, cover tight ends, go run with them, run with running backs and stuff out of the backfield in a 4-3 defense. He really could play safety, but he could play linebacker too. That's basically what it is. You know what I'm saying? So in the defense that Kevin Steele is going to play, most likely it'll be like a 4-2-5. So you'll have a money backer who can do that, opposed to, well, he only could just be the run, you know, a run stopper. You see what I'm saying? So it's basically that's your money position because you could run, you could cover, and you could stop the run.
That's what's okay.
That's basically what it is. They use that term a lot in the NFL. They use that term in at other programs, or they'll say star. At UM in the previous years, we said striker.
Yeah, I never heard striker before since Manny came around.
Yeah, which was basically the same thing, but we kind of implemented wrong. You know what I'm saying? We kind of – like I say, man, it's just different. Everything down there is different, man. So we just looking a whole lot better than we did. And it's just day one, and we still look better than we did last year.
Wow.
We'll get into the details of that a little later on. You know, our intentions is to double back for y'all. So hopefully you hit us and we're gonna come right back. We'll see. Hopefully everything will line up. We'll, you know, hit y'all across your head one more time like your uncle that played too much. He got the heavy hand too, bro. Yeah, y'all had an uncle like that, man. My uncle, God bless them, man. My uncle Larry passed away last year. My uncle Larry had a shake like a fucking vice grip, and he thought it was the most funny shit on the planet. Was to shake your hand, and I'm telling you, I've seen grown men come to one knee to this guy just crushing your hand, man. I don't know what it was, man. Like, they say that about Adrian Peterson, too. My uncle had that same vice grip.
I heard that about Adrian.
Bro, they say AP love to do that shit. Just take your hand and just...
Yeah, AP put that grip on the wrong people sometimes, too, I heard.
Oh, nah, you know...
Hey, I thought about that, too, after I said that shit.
Hey, off topic, what you guys were saying. The new recruit we just got, Antonio Tripp Jr., just basically tweeted out something that's going to be alarming to UM fans. Mm. He basically said, "You already know. Now, only if I could get you to the UA Miami fans, I'm about to take this class to the max. Mark my words, we're going to be better than the 01 class."
Oh, wow. Man.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah, I think somebody should hit him up in the DM and say, "Hey, don't do it to yourself. Do not do that to yourself."
Man, he's just on that high right now, man.
I like it. I like the energy of the young.
The fact he knows about the 01 class to begin with at his age, I'll take it. I'll take it, right?
Respect.
Respect, and, but come on, man. Like, lie, just don't lie. Do it to yourself, boy. Hey, listen. We UM fans really get into real big arguments about that year, like, and I mean, it was a special year that I don't think nobody outside of Bama can duplicate. So it's really kind of passionate and personal, you know what I'm saying? So for him to say that, we just got to say, okay, now you saying this, right.
I hope he's right. I hope we can have the two best college teams ever. You know what I mean? If they got to look back, if we could go back and say we had the number one and number two best college football teams, how amazing would that be? But yeah, you're right. That's a lot, young boy.
Yeah, it's a lot, man. But shouts out to you, man, because guess what? Like we love it. We love it. I love it.
Come on down, compete. Iron sharp as iron. Ain't nothing special about Alabama except for the fact that they get all the talent, bro. If you brought it here, you could get the same exact results. The glitz, the glamour, you know, the cool locker rooms, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, they win all that shit because they got the best classes, bro. Believe that. But if you don't believe nothing else, that talent trumps all of that.
Hey, what that special saying in the movie Blue Chip? They got the best athletes money can buy.
Yeah, there you go.
The best athletes winning. So yeah, they supposed to be, you know what I'm saying? Like, shouts out to them. They did tie our record with 6 draft picks. Was it last? Last year.
Who that?
They did it. Alabama. You know what I'm saying? So I give them credit. They did that. Tie our six first rounds in the first draft but it just wasn't how UM did it. You know what I'm saying? The way UM did it, it was like, damn, boy. You know? So.
We biased, but it is what it is. So let's get in them trenches, man. Let's start. What y'all want to start? Interior to exterior?
Man, start interior. Go start interior. Let's go interior. That's where the money at right there.
So interior defensive lineman for us, you know, as the spring kicks off. Actually, right now, I believe today, after the first practice was yesterday, we had Jacob Lichtenstein and Leonard Taylor were our starting DTs. Lichtenstein came in. Lichtenstein's like a really long guy, pause. So he's right now, they've got him putting on weight. I heard him in an interview. Shout out to Y Wright. Manny Navarro's podcast. If you're not checking that out, that's Manny does a good job over there. He's got some interviews over there. He said right now, yeah, they're starting interior. I think Jacob, the great thing about him is I do think he brings a lot of versatility to the line. I think that
experience.
He's 23, so I mean, he's old headed.
He better be experienced. He's 23. Damn.
But he had a great year last year.
Damn, little coach.
He got really healthy last year. Yeah, shout out to Zelante Hillary, bro. Like, I didn't know he was still in. Well, boy said he not on the roster. I said, what? Zelante Hillary? Man, if you
that
don't
boy came in with DJ.
Bro,
DJ on his fourth year in the NFL right now.
Like, bro, listen. Man,
he shouldn't have.
Go get your CDL, my boy. Ain't no shame in that. He paying good right now, too.
Yeah, yeah. Get it all you can, man. But, yeah, those two tackles, I mean, it's first day, so nothing is in stone as far as who's starting. I would say Leonard, LT looks good out there regardless. I seen him get off the ball on one play, and granted, they're not in pass, so it's can't really judge. But I think his anticipation of when the quarterback is about to say height is kind of special. I'm not gonna say he's anybody. He's Leonard Taylor. You know what I'm saying? He sees something that's rare in that position. You know what I'm saying? You know, certain D tackles in that position can see that. So he sees something different that other players can't. So the other guy who kind of stood out, Hunt stood out.
Harrison Hunt.
Yeah, Harrison Hunt, he stood out. Again, they not in pass, so you can't really jump for joy.
You know what I'm saying? I like Hunt. Harrison Hunt's a guy that has shown a lot of flash to me. I love to see him put it all together this year and line up next to Leonard Taylor and really just go ahead and get the bag, go ahead and get out of here, go get that money. I'd love to see that happen for him this year. He's a very athletic guy. Some good explosion. I think he's strong at the point of attack. So he's a guy that I really would love to see go ahead and make his money this year.
Listen, with them two, I think if you put them two in the game, you know they say, okay, well, normally you need your D-tackles to get double team, this and this and that. I think that's going to be a problem for offenses if you have them two in the game at the same time. Mm-hmm. Because they could both get through a double team like that, which makes it a lot better for the defensive end saying, okay, well, I'm going to get blocked by one person now. You see what I'm saying? So, And that's how good defenses are, you know what I'm saying? Every player doing their assignment to make the other player better. And that's where I think our defense is going to transition this year. But, yeah, them two, Leonard, I think Leonard and Hunt are going to be our money guys on the defense interior front in the middle.
So then you got Lichtenstein will probably be your number three.
Yeah, Lichtenstein, and don't forget about the other big guy. Is it? Miller.
Jordan Miller.
Jordan Miller.
They're going to get him in there because he could just take up space. He could take up space and take up two bodies. And that's what you need, somebody to take up space, take two bodies for your linebackers to make plays so they don't drop.
I mean, that position group. Who else? Who didn't we mention? Allen Hay. I think Allen Hay is probably at least another year away if he's going to be a contributor for us. I don't think he's in the, in the mix in the rotation right now.
I think how Allen Hay gets on the field, I think he's smart. He understands defense. He know how to play. Mm-hmm. He's smart enough to read. He don't have all the physical attributes, but he knows. He's smart enough to know the defense. You know what I'm saying?
He's on the shorter side, isn't he? He's on the shorter side, isn't he?
Yeah, he's about 6'1" and a half. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Probably like 3'15", something like that. But he's smart. Mm-hmm. Like he could read, man. The way we had him on the show, man, the way he explained how he gets in the backfield so fast. He explained it. I gotta watch it again, but I know he explained it, but he paid attention to the offensive line.
Right, the little tendencies.
Yeah, I remember the little tendencies. And then he gets in because they doing the same thing over and over. And he said, okay, well, they doing this. Oh, I got him.
He's a kid. He said, too, he looks at it, kind of like Taylor, he looks at the offensive lineman's first step to see where they're going to go, where their leverage is going to be, too.
He's a kid that I do actually, I know, like, you know, and that's especially in college football, we, you know, we get caught up in the fanfare of the latest guy, but I actually have a lot of faith in his ability to develop because of what you just mentioned, X. I think he's a guy that, because he's so intuitive, because he's so into film study, that I think he's a guy that is going to exceed expectations. At least at the collegiate level. I don't know, you know, what that may translate to at the next level, but I definitely think, not this year per se, but I think next year, let's not write Alan Hay off as a guy that can be not just a contributor, but a major contributor. And I hope so. That's what you're, you know, and that's the thing. As fans, we get caught up in the new toy and the rotation comes in and it's like, yeah, but you also want to be developing the guys you brought in, you know. You want that. You know what you ultimately, when you're running a great program, you want that five-star D tackle freshman or DN freshman that you brought in to sit his ass on the bench. That's what you really want. That's how you know you're really truly building
a program. You got a program. Yeah. You just expect all the freshmen to come in every year and play immediately.
Right. That's a bad sign.
Yeah, that's happening every year.
That's 7-5, 8-4.
Right.
Exactly. Oh yeah, we got the other kid. How you pronounce his name? Moultrie.
He's gonna be on the outside though, right?
Transfer. They got him in inside. He's gonna be inside.
I think he's a little more.
He's gonna be inside. He's gonna be inside.
Based on his frame,
for the most part, everybody, all the transfers we got on defense on the D line was inside players.
So Moultrie's there, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
All our transfers are there.
I heard Daryl Porter wasn't there.
Oh yeah, no. He's okay. Besides him, he's the only one that's not there.
Okay.
He's on, but
yeah, everybody else coming. But I mean, it's a done deal. That's just paperwork type.
Deal, yeah, it's right? Done deal. He'll be there. He'll be there summertime.
All right, so let's kind of look at the D tackles. That group gives me some concern. I like us starting. I like us even three deep. I think the Lichtenstein kid is going to be an actually really good addition. I get a little nervous when we get to four.
So you mean like Jordan Miller?
Yeah, once we get there, I'm like, a little shaky. Jordan Miller is kind of just more of a space eater. I think those other three guys we're talking about are way more athletic. You know, when you're talking about Jacob Lichtenstein, a lot of people, you know, we're not as familiar with him. He's 6'6", you know, and he's built himself up to 285 to play inside for us. So, you know, kind of almost picture, Kalias is what, 6'7"?
Yeah,
Kalias Campbell, 6'7".
Kalias. No, but Kalias
about 6'8". Okay, about to say he looks 6'8". So, but closer to that frame is what I'm saying. Not kind of your shorter, stout, more, you know, plug kind of a guy up front. You're looking at more of a longer, athletic defensive tackle and a guy with a lot of experience. So I definitely think he, you know, I mean, if he cracks starting, that would be super impressive. I don't know if he'll do that. But even if he's our third, I think he's going to actually bring quite a bit to the table.
I don't even want to write off Jordan Miller, though, because it's coming out now. I mean, regardless if it's coming out now, we saw the film last year and the year before. Our D tackles never had any, like, gap integrity. It was just get upfield. So I have a hard time even writing off Jordan Miller as of yet because he showed some flashes, but I feel like he can just control his gap or something. We might have a good little four deep, but I see what you're saying about the three.
Man, I left the roster at home. It's two other names that's going to be a D tackle. I left the roster home.
Let's see. The other two would probably be. Hold on.
We got Taylor. We got Lichtenstein, Harrison Hunt, Jordan Miller, and then Moultrie. You said, but they got Moultrie at the end on this deck.
Moulton.
But yeah, Mobley's not, he's not there yet. He's not there just yet. He'll be there summer. He'll be there summertime.
Okay.
But no, they there. They
another D-tackle we forgetting about.
I mean, but it's not a name that we're going to jump for joy about, you know what I'm saying? But like you say, maybe they're going to get coached the right way where they could be effective. Right.
Yeah, I mean, we're still looking at who's probably going to actually play. I mean, it's a new set of eyes, so it could change up, obviously. But those are the guys that I've kind of got kind of penciled in there. And, I mean, we're getting ready to talk about DNs. I think that, you know, as we talk about DNs, you would be looking at who's the guy? I love the kid, man. Elijah. Yeah, Elijah
Roberts. Elijah Roberts. Elijah Roberts. Now, listen.
Right now, he's outside, correct?
Yeah. Now, that could be interesting right there. Him being as good as he is could play in or out.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do if you say what do you do if you just got three outstanding defensive ends or two outstanding defensive ends? You say, well, I need Elijah on the field too. Now right. You could have an incident where you say, well, look, Elijah, let's kick you inside to just get you on the field.
Right.
It's not gonna be your permanent position, but we just want you on the field.
Packages. I definitely think as of right now, you know, again, just starting spring, our starting DNs right now are Elijah and Jafari Harvey. But I definitely like Elijah's versatility. I really think he's a kid that can play inside or outside. I definitely think, you know, we play, you know, quote unquote, like the NASCAR package, depending on what the new coaches are going to call it. I definitely think Elijah's a guy that we may kick inside on some of those. To get some of you know, no third and long.
Okay, so Larry, by you saying that now, for just a scenario, you got Elijah Robert who we can kick inside. So what do we do with Leonard Taylor then Harrison Hunt? Because they both are athletic defensive tackles.
That's, I mean, you said Steel's gonna run multiple fronts though at the same time though. So
that's true. That's a great question.
I'm just saying, like, okay, even if we just got a four down lineman, so you got four defensive linemen, and then you say, okay, we got two speed guys. Just say you got a Chaz Williams at one end, and Jafari Harvey at the other, and then you want to put two speed D tackles in. You know what I'm saying? So you got then you got Harrison Hunt, but right. You're trying to get Elijah Roberts in too.
I feel you.
So now you're like, damn, boy. But guess
that's
what?
A good problem to have, though.
It's a good problem to have. It's a good problem to have.
I was just about to say that. So that would be our best problem. But I'll be honest, if we're starting Elijah at DN, Chance Williams, Jafari Harvey at DN, you know, we need somebody to step up. I think Elijah is a very gifted, multifaceted defensive lineman. Who shows a lot of promise. I think he can just be a football player on that D line. However, I'm looking for that pass rush demon, and I'm not sure we got that right now. That's probably going to be one of the young boys, but not now.
I think we got it with Chaz Williams. I know we got it with him. I just feel like they didn't give him enough opportunities to be on the field as much as he should have.
Does he look a little bigger, X?
Yeah, he looks stronger. Like he got bigger.
He's strong, yeah. I saw him.
He got bigger up top. And then he's fast because one play yesterday, they said hike it, then he got in the backfield so fast. I was like, well, damn, you know what I'm saying? But again, he's not in pass, so I didn't really go crazy about it. But he got in the field as soon as they said he was done.
Well, I'll say this in support of Chance Williams. Chance Williams was a guy that when I saw him on the field, I loved his explosiveness. Absolutely. And I kept going, why ain't he playing more? I was like, bro, why aren't we playing no more? Why, you know, that was confusing to me. So I get that. So you telling me what you saw early on isn't very surprising to me because I thought he was one of the most explosive guys off the snap that we had on our team. So I was like, well, what is he? Is he just not good against the run? And that's why they aren't playing him as much? Or is it because we're trying to get Zach McCloud, you know, an NFL look? I don't know. You know, that's where my questions came in. So I'm not surprised that Chance Williams is showing promise, because he's a guy that I think has a lot of promise. Jafari Harvey had a lot of opportunities last year, and I just don't think he capitalized enough. Not writing him off, but
he definitely didn't capitalize. But what I would say is, I guess the way the defense was played, I'm not everything they did last year. I'm just throwing it away because the way the defense was played. That's so I feel like everybody was kind of out of position or doing things that they want a person to do.
It was a mess.
Supposed to do. But again, in Manny Diaz defenses, the defensive ends was the ones normally making the plays. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I see what you're saying, Larion. Again, but it's you got choices. You got Jafari Harvey, Chaz Williams. You got Elijah Roberts. You got Jabari Ishmael, freshman.
Got
hurt last year. You got who else? Who else is
he
there?
Need to mention Ishmael.
Ishmael. He's gotten bigger.
You got eyes on him, so he looks bigger.
I think he's 6'5".
He's gotten bigger. He put on some weight because last year he was just straight up and down. You know what I'm saying? Looked like he was about maybe 215, but
Ishmael's supposed to be a freshman though. Naturally, this year he was like a year younger than everybody else when he came out, wasn't he?
Yeah. I think he actually graduated a year before, like he was supposed to.
Right.
So. The other guy we're forgetting was Cyrus Moss.
Cyrus Moss is there.
He's still right now, right?
Yeah, you don't really want to throw the true freshman names in there just yet. You know what I'm saying? You want to wait till they get develop college wise, body wise,
Najalik as well. But I think Najalik,
comes in the summertime, right?
Najalik is there. He's just not practicing for spring because he's injured. He had to have surgery. Okay. So he'll be ready for fall.
But I see Najalik as a guy that could get in on some third down packages.
Oh, most definitely.
I don't think Moss will right now unless he puts on, I don't know, by season 25 yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's a thin guy. He's very effective at his size. He's a strong guy at his size. But to be ready for college football, I mean, yeah, he's probably, 215? I mean, we got to at least get him up to 240 before I think he's really ready to contribute. I think Najalik can come in on pass rush downs and be a contributor.
I think Najalik already like 225-ish.
I think
Najalik's going to be, man, by the time summer comes, Najalik probably be at 250. He didn't, and Najalik was bigger than 225. Najalik was like maybe 230.
Okay.
He's tall. But
yeah.
His body could get to once he gets
easily. I could tell his body tight easily.
You know what I'm saying?
I think Najalik probably should have swapped with Moss as far as rankings go. I think Najalik, Moss was ranked high. Moss was like just outside of being a 5-star. Najalik didn't quite get that bump. But, you know, a lot of people that said they laid eyeballs on these guys down in South Florida, a lot of people said Najalik was the best of them all.
That's another discussion.
How the rankings go is it's how they think they'll get drafted. Because Cyrus Moss can turn into like a terror on the edge. Mm-hmm. But
Cyrus Moss could be that 3-4 edge linebacker rusher.
Right.
Or he could be a 4-3. And the crazy thing is Najalik can too. He just don't play that position because he plays in the 4-3 defense that he just attacks every play. Cyrus Moss was actually a safety in high school.
Safety, yep.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
you know who he's supposed to be?
Greg Rousseau.
Right. He's supposed to be the next gun. Najalik honestly reminds me a lot of Alden Smith.
That's a good comparison.
If y'all remember him, he long arms, athletic, just Oh my God, so disruptive. That's exactly when I looked at the film, I was like, yo, because again, I'm, you know, for those who may not know, I'm a Niners fan, and Aldon Smith for us was.
Hey, I was just about to say, you had to throw a Niner, gang, baby.
I remember watching this film, and I was like, bro, he reminds me of Aldon, man. Just a guy, because Aldon Smith in college played 4-3.
At Missouri, right?
Yeah, Missouri. Yeah, when he came to the 49ers, he was a 3-4 outside linebacker, which, I mean, he just rushed, essentially, for the most part. And that's what I see a lot in Najee Lee.
To back Larry on up, though, Eggs, the Niners had them backers for you, though, because they had Patrick Willis playing with
Aldon Smith. Listen, they had a squad. I would say Aldon Smith, too. But the name I would say, I guess because I'm a Cowboy fan, I would say DeMarcus Ware. Because he's that good. When you say hype, he's going to get to the quarterback. You know what I'm saying?
Ware's different. Ware's an animal, man.
Listen, I watched Najee Lee for 3 years in high school, man. When you say hype, he's going to get to the quarterback. It's going to be hard to keep him away from the quarterback. So it's a good thing. And the fact that he will get bigger and better in college is, man, it's going to be.
If y'all want to throw y'all teams in there, what about the Bucks with Simeon Rice? I had to throw my Bucks.
Nah, we ain't going to do that. We ain't doing that.
Simeon Rice was a monster, absolutely. So I'll say this about Diaz, and we'll move on to the next group. I think the future's bright there. I think the present is a little questionable. And we're going to really have to look to these coaches. And when I say coaches, I mean the strength and conditioning, nutrition, and position coaches to get these guys to the next level.
So let's just say the talent is there.
Jafari Harvey, Jafari Harvey to get 8 sacks this year. That's his job.
Let's just say the talent is there. They got the talent, but can they duplicate it on the field?
Right, and we need to see it jump up. Jafari, Chance, these are guys that I really would like to see out of the two of them. I'd like to see an 8 sack guy out of one of the two of those.
I think if Chance Williams is on the field constantly, I think he gets double digits.
I think he'll get it before Jafari.
Because he's a lot more focused at defensive end than everybody else. Just looking at them when they on the field, he just looks like he's a lot more focused.
Yeah, he's quick. He rips really well. Like, he just sheds that block and gets to the next level.
Yeah.
The most natural pass rusher we have.
Yeah, he can start finishing more.
The only thing with Jafari was his size to me, because he don't have the longest of arms, a little bit on the shoulder.
But he's athletic. He's real athletic. Like, remember when he got the interception and he ran it for a touchdown? That's something that DNs ain't supposed to do.
I just felt like his size might keep him from getting those double-digit sacks. I get what you're saying, though.
But somebody got to do it. So, yeah.
Okay, so before we switch over, and I remember, when we were getting all the double-digit sacks, who were the D-line coach? Coach Stroud.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Stroud wasn't the D-line coach last year. And Jeff Simpson came in. Now, Jeff Simpson probably talked them a different way.
Yeah, wasn't it cool? Coach Cool, right? Too, though?
Cool.
Yeah, when Coach Cool was first, and then Jeff Simpson came in, and then we had a down year. And then once Stroud got there, it was like, oh, damn, boy, y'all got
you're right.
17, 15 sacks, and then Jalen Phillips, and then, you know, Stroud steps back, and then now we got this again, you know what I'm saying? So maybe.
Is Stroud still with us?
Stroud is still on staff. He's still on staff.
Okay. Off field. Okay. Shout out to Stroud, man. That's dope. All right, let's move to the next level then, real quick. Let's
Oh man, that's a mess.
That is a mess.
How the Saints looking, X?
Hey, listen.
You're at 31 now.
The Saints probably took somebody's spot already, man.
Well,
not
that's
hard
good
to
and
do.
Bad.
Not
good
hard bad. To do, yeah.
He looked good out there. Steed looked okay. So the first two was Steed and Flat. They was out there, for the first part. I really kept my eyes on Wesley because, you know, I'm like, man, you know, I'm a Wesley fan regardless. He looked real good out there. He was breaking on passes that they was doing. Again, they don't got on pass, so you can't judge them because it wasn't they wasn't tackling or nothing like that, man. But he looked real good out there. We just gonna have to see who gonna man up at this at the linebacker.
Who's gonna read Cave Austin? Look, Austin Cave, my fault.
It's hard to judge when they're not tackling.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. So when they just out there running, anybody can make the play when they running. You just gotta touch somebody. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to tackle somebody and make that stop that play or make them change directions and stuff like that. So,
do you think we run in a 4-2-5? Because I know we have to put those safeties on the field, but do you think we run in a 4-2-5 because that's the less amount of linebackers we have to put out on the field?
I mean, that's what I saw a lot of yesterday, linebackers on the field at the same time.
Which two linebackers you saw out first?
The first two was Steed and Flag.
Okay.
The first two was Steed and Flag. The second two was, I think it was Wesley Bissaint and
Austin Cave.
No. What's the white kid name? Who? Ragone was working with the second unit a lot yesterday.
You have a problem if Ragone. I like how Ragone plays his intensity, but there's a problem with me if Ragone's out there in front of Austin Cave. Because I had high hopes with Austin Cave. I had liked his film. He had some good linebacker schools on him coming out of high school. But go ahead, Larry.
I'll say this. No, real quick. I'll say this. We hate on Ragone, but when I see him play, plays better than the other linebacker.
He makes the plays that he's supposed to make.
All I need.
He's in all the right positions. He's not athletic like the others.
Not that athletic, right.
But I'm going to tell you the crazy thing is, because me and Streeter talk about this all the time, we always cry and go crazy about, well, why is such and such playing in front of such and such? The one thing, why is such and such playing in front of such and such? Because they work harder than such and such. We always make that. We always cry and complain, but why we don't say, hey, why the fuck you not working hard like the other guy?
Right. And that,
we never say that. We always say, why is he not playing? Why the hell are you not working this hard?
Exactly. Because you think you better. But the thing is when you look at the legends of the game, right, and when we really – and the way you really could tell it is the NFL. Because college is, you know, 4, maybe 5 years max, right? 7 or 8 if you like –
if you caught Kobe,
or you look at who was the the old dude that played defensive end for us, white boy.
Oh, you talk about the one that transferred to Colorado State.
What's his name?
Patchen. Scott Patchen.
Patchen. Thank you, Maul. Great producing, bro. See, that's what I need. So that in general, it shouldn't take that long, but sometimes it does. And we'll see how that pans out for Patchen at the end. We'll see. Anyways, all right. I don't want to get off track. I already got off track and
lost. Yeah, no. The linebacker position is just a mess. Like I say, the first two names that went out was Steed and Flag, and then you got Wesley and then Ragone. And like I say, everything after Steed and Flag is a mess. And even with Steed, you know, it's just you can't say much just yet because they're not in pads. You know what I'm saying? It's just right now, it's who outworking who.
I'll say this.
It might be a Chase mess with Flag out there too.
Chase Smith, right? He said that, right? So Chase Smith is the guy that I think has the most potential all around. So keep in mind, Chase is out right now.
He's out with an injury. Yeah.
I think it's a shoulder deal. I can't remember.
Yeah. I mean, and then Sam Brooks, everybody's saying he's not on it. Sam Brooks is still on the roster. He's just out with an injury still. Who else? Somebody else is out with an injury too.
We got a few of those. Maul, see if you can pull that list up if you can. Of the injuries, they printed it the other day.
Yeah, like I said, I had the paper with that, and I left it at the house. I don't know why I did that, but
No, that's all good. Yeah, they posted it on the online or whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So I should
pull that up for us. Yeah, they put that out there. But that position is probably the most worrisome for me. I just don't know if we got the dogs. Hey, I know we don't have the depth. I think we could probably come up with, if we're going to probably have two linebackers.
Tyler Johnson.
Yeah, Tyler Johnson. That's the other one is out. But they very high on him. They very, very, very high on Tyler Johnson.
I have heard some good things about
Tyler. They very high on Tyler Johnson because the thing is, he's athletic. He can run. He can tackle. He's out. That's Jaquan Johnson, little brother. Right. He's another name that they very high on. And like I say, it's not so much of a depth issue. Right now, it's the fact that they're going to get coached properly now. So if they can't do the right things now, this year, then we can say we really have a linebacker problem. Because I've come to know that for the last 4 years, they wasn't coached properly.
Right.
And that's why they are bad. You know, with the fact that, okay, well, the defensive line just getting up the field. So maybe offensive line is just running straight to the linebackers.
I kind of feel like, though, that's what was going on, too. If the D-line has no gap integrity, the linebacker's going to get blasted. But I still feel, though, if they're getting coached wrong, you can still show flashes. And I'm just not – haven't seen any kind of flashes from the linebackers we currently have.
Nah, don't say that, because if you're getting coached wrong and you want to play, you're going to do exactly what the coach say. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You ain't doing too much of not what you want to do, because the coach could take you out and say, hey, that's not what I told you to do.
All right. And Steve can't stay healthy on top of that as well.
Well, he's been healthy the last year and a half. So the thing is, he's got to get his – game speed back to where
he got hurt last year.
No, Steve. Not Steve.
Is Troutman still here?
Troutman's still there. It's just a mess because you don't know as of yet. When they get in pads, I could give you a better assumption about what's going on with the linebacker group.
We got the right linebacker coach there to coach him up, though, with Steele and Charlie Strong. So, I mean,
they'll coach him up, but I just think, honestly, if I'm just giving my fair assessment of that room, it just has to get better talent wise.
That's obvious.
Yeah. You know, you're looking at, just undersized guys, to be honest with you, that in today's, college game, they just don't quite measure up.
That's true, but us being in the ACC, what team in the ACC besides, I guess, Boston College that runs a power run offense?
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. Everything we're talking about now, I'm still not saying we should win less than 9 games because, again, the competition isn't that stiff. So, yeah, regardless, I'm talking about When I'm critiquing them, I'm critiquing them against the national standard.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to get. When it comes to the ACC, I still, with no games played yet, anything less than 9 wins to me is a failure. But of course, a new coach, he gets transition year. He's going to get leeway. But I still even think we got enough talent to bring down 9, regardless.
We should have won 9 last year if we won.
You still got Avery Huff there. You still got
He wasn't in the top 4.
I mean, nobody really has a spot. So that's just right. Units and stuff. Nobody's right. It's no first string or second string or none of that. It's just the guys who we know been there for the longest, we're gonna send them out there first. You know what I'm saying? And then once everything sit down and get together, and we could make a first, second team, third team, stuff like that. So
I feel like the linebackers, though, like I said last week's show about the O-line or 2 weeks ago, if the linebacker unit isn't performing, I don't want to say good or great, but if they're not performing well this year, we just don't have the horses. To have Kevin Steele and Charlie Strong on staff, if they don't perform well, they don't have the horses.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
The one thing I would say about our linebacker group is they are athletic. I'm tripping. Keontra Smith was with the he was interchanging with first and second team. Keontra Smith.
So they don't have him as a. Do they have him as a linebacker or like that?
Yeah. No, he's linebacker. He's okay. But listen, he might be a key factor in that linebacker group this year because, like I say, when they switched him to that money position, he understands that he could go and covers and do all this. So when they got him in, just say on the passing down, he could drop back into coverage. You know what I'm saying? He's athletic enough to get an interception or read a receiver, stuff like that. And then you also know in the Kevin Steele defense where sometimes when the linebacker drop back into coverage and nothing is there, he tells him to go attack the quarterback. He's athletic and fast enough to go and get that quarterback. You know what I'm saying? So, like I say, at this time, we can't say nothing about that group because they're not tackling. Once they start tackling, we'll understand what's really going on. It's hard to kind of say that with the offensive line, D-line, and then linebackers because we know they have to contact almost everyone.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, we'll see how it goes, man. We got the players there. I don't like Le'Veon said, I don't know if we got the horses, the alphas. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Who is going to be the alpha?
Right. I think Keontre is going to be an alpha.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's the alpha. Yeah. He's the alpha. He just got to be on the field. He's got to be on the field.
But he's undersized, too.
So yeah, he's an undersized alpha. He's an undersized alpha.
He can have all the heart in the world. Keontre could go and play ball at FAU, FIU, and destroy everything in front of
all conference first team.
But exactly, this is the ACC, and yeah, we're not the premier conference. Don't get me wrong. Obviously, the premier conference is the SEC, and then probably second would be Big Ten.
ACC, man, we ain't giving that Big Ten shit. No credit up there.
Yeah, I'm good with that. But either way, yeah, it's a little bit of drop. But real quick, we're going to go through – let me drop this real quick because we didn't have it earlier. Let's drop the injury report. So on the limited list was Jalen Rivers and John Campbell. The out list for, early spring as of right now is Romello Brinson, Sam Brooks, Don Chaney, Luis Gutierrez, Lou Headley, Jabari Ishmael, Tyler Johnson, Cam Kitchens, Jalen Knighton, Nigel Kelly, Jalen Knighton, they listed twice. Threw me off. Yeah, they definitely listed him twice. Anthony Moultrie, Kamari Rogers, Chase Smith, Tariq Stevenson, Isaiah Walker, and Keyshawn Washington. So those are the guys that right now won't be participating. They didn't get to do the fourth quarter program, so they're not ready, to get out there and get beat. So hopefully they'll heal up. What we got left? We'll get to safeties.
Yeah, the defensive back. Well, you want to do corners and safeties different, or you just want to do the whole defensive backs together?
Let's look at safeties, and then we'll go to cornerbacks.
Okay, safeties. Obviously, you got big game James Williams.
Mm-hmm.
He's alpha. You got Avante Williams.
Absolutely.
Cam Kitchens. He's out right now, but he's definitely a starter when the season starts.
Is he gonna be out all spring?
Yeah, he'll be out all spring. We don't forget that. We need to get him ready for fall. Forget that spring shit. We know what he can do. You know what I'm saying? The good thing is now you got Avante and you got Brian Ballum who could battle for
I like Brian Ballum, though.
You know what I'm saying? Brian Ballum, a kid who got in, who got playing time his freshman year when Carter and Bubba and them was kept getting and Gervin Hall kept getting the targeting rules. So he got in some games and he looked good. He looked to the par.
He didn't play bad in that Clemson game where he got thrown into the fire.
He played pretty good. He played pretty good. So got hurt in fall, right beginning of that, and then he's out for the rest of the season. He's back full go. And he looked pretty good out there yesterday. So we're gonna see how things go with him. They got Jalen Harrell. They got him back at safety. He's big kid. I don't know, man. I think somebody got
in a hard place on like corner and safety. I feel
no. I think somebody got to go wrap some firecrackers around his whole body and light it, man, so he can just realize that he's that you big. You know what I'm saying? You gotta go out there and play.
You think they could put him at star?
Man, he could play.
I know he's not physical enough right now. But
that's the thing. I don't think he understands how big he is. He's physical enough. So, I mean, but he better figure it out fast.
I kind of feel like he felt he was a corner the whole time.
Well,
that's what he played in high school.
At this college now. You ain't running no 4-3, 4-4. You can't play corner. You know what I'm saying? We got enough of slow corners. We don't need more.
Right. He don't want to that neither.
Yeah, then you know you got Keyshawn Washington. He's out.
I like Keyshawn Washington too, though. He laid that thumper on you.
Yeah. He's another hitter. And then you got the freshman kid that would come in the summer.
From Orlando, Markeith Williams.
Markeith Williams. Now the interesting thing with him is he's all safety. He's I guess you could say safety. A taller version of Cam Kitchens. I don't
he
think
he reminds me of a Kenny Phillips with his size.
No. We're not. Like I tell you, we're not gonna keep doing that.
No, I don't want to mean he is Kenny Phillips. I'm not saying that. I mean, like Kenny Phillips was on the taller side for a safety.
Kenny Phillips was raw, all American.
No, yeah, I didn't mean. I meant size wise. I didn't mean productive wise.
I'm just saying, coming out of high school, Kenny Phillips was the number one safety coming out of high school. So we can't keep.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
no, but he guess what? He's good because he's a ball hawking safety.
Right.
And that's the thing that the defensive coaches talk about. They want players who could get in there and be ball hawks. Go get the interception. You know what I'm saying? We don't necessarily always want you to go out there and get the kill shot, the hit. Go get the ball. Turnovers. You know what I'm saying? Get the offense the ball. So
yeah, I love our future with safety. I absolutely love
our safety
it.
Room is our safety room great. We don't it's have no great, problem yeah. with that. Once everybody's healthy and on the field and able to play, normally it would be James, Cam, Kitchens, and Tate. Those would be the first three. Then you got Brian Ballum right after that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if we need to go into the field safety, then either we blowing somebody out or somebody ain't doing their job. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask y'all a question about the injury report. It seemed pretty long. Why do you all think that is? Especially with a lot of good players who I wish.
Well, a lot of players got dinged up at the end of the season. A lot of players got dinged up at the end of the season. Had little minor issues that they need to get cleaned up. Yeah, it's nothing serious. It's just listen. We got 1 week of practice. We got Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Next week, we're off the whole week. Let them players sit out and rest.
Why, though? Spring break for them?
Yeah, they go on spring. The kids at UM go on spring break.
Because it's three shells, and then they go to hitting, right? Three practices and shells.
Yeah, when they come back after spring break, they be ready to hit again. They be ready to hit. So let them go. Let them go get rest. We good. Don't worry about the injuries. Nothing is serious where we got, oh, damn, he's out for the rest of the year.
No, I wasn't thinking nothing like that. To me, with this new staff and everything, I just wanted any player who's available just to be out there. That's with the new system, new terminology, all that. But
you want them ready for fall.
Right.
Spring is cool, but we want them ready for fall. So safety room, we good. I'm not really worried about safety room. Like I say, those three names will probably be the names, or not probably, will be the names. James Williams, Cam Kitchens, and Vontae Williams.
And I like what Steele said. I like what Steele said last week. If he's coaching on the sideline and three of his best, what did he say? Three of his best players.
He said, if I'm coaching on the sideline and I look over and I see one of my best players on the sideline, I don't want that to happen.
I got to figure out how to get him in the game.
Yeah. So right. Guess what? They'll be in the game. You know what I'm saying? So we'll be all right at safety. Now, switching over to cornerback, now we got a problem.
Damn. Let me ask you this. I don't want to put him out. A lot of people, because I think you had maybe I shouldn't say it. Never mind. Now, go ahead.
No, I'm going to ask y'all who y'all think going to be the guys, because I said we got a problem. That's it.
So Ivy, how did he – because to me, if somebody looks bad and shells, there's a serious problem. So how did Ivy look? Because he's the oldest corner we have. How did he like? How do you look bad in shells at corner? That's what I'm kind of trying to ask.
I don't know what you want me to tell you.
But how did he look bad, though? Like, now, how do you look bad in shells? Like at corner, like I get other positions, but at corner, how do you look bad in shells?
Man, sometimes just the other players just better than you, maybe, or you just don't got it.
Darn.
I don't know, man. They talking good about him again. They talked good about him last year. They talking good about him again this year. I don't know. I don't know if Ivy thinks or knows he good. I don't know. I don't know, man. Ivy a good dude, man. He good, right, good kid, dude. Man. Good player, man. Maybe he needs that confidence factor to understand that he can be good.
But what was he doing to look bad in sales though at corner, like? You gotta say,
man, listen, let's talk about who we think gonna be on the field, man. I can't, I'm not gonna talk about how bad anybody looks.
No, I didn't want to get to that, but I'm just thinking at corner or safety and shells. What are you doing?
I mean, but at the same time, it was still they you know, it's first day, so it was, it could be different the next day.
Okay, so Isaiah Johnson.
I don't know what's going on with that situation with him. I think he was at corner. Yeah, he was at corner.
Liked how he looked at corner at times last year, though.
He was at corner. Go ahead and call out all the cornerbacks.
We got Isaiah. One of them's on the injury report, I believe.
Tyreek is injured.
All right, so we got Isaiah Johnson.
Tyreek is injured.
We got Ivy out there. We got Marcus Clark out there.
Marcus Clark.
We got Al Blaze out there. We have, and they put what's his name back at corner.
Malik Curtis. He never left. He never left corner.
Yeah, yeah. We got Malik Curtis out there. And that's it. Kadarius Porter's not out there yet. That's it.
Porter, Reeves, Rogers. Rogers is hurt. He's out there. He's hurt, though. He's injured. So
Rogers is going to redshirt. I saw his size. He's definitely going to redshirt more than likely.
He won't be ready to fall.
Yeah, that's all we got, though. So it looks like we might be looking for like another maybe transfer addition out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's all we got out there. We don't have a lot of veteran experience besides Ivy.
You got Tacori Couch. You didn't say Tacori Couch.
We got Tacori Couch, yeah.
Got Tacori Couch out there.
How did he look?
Tacori Couch, and they had him on the inside. They had him on the inside, guarding him.
Where he should have been.
He was doing both outside and inside,
we should have been, but we talked about that a couple of episodes ago.
Yeah. At the end of the day, man, I just feel like we still need help at the cornerback position. You got Porter coming in. He got some game experience. Tyreek Stevenson to be back ready. And then you have the other freshman that's back.
A guy gonna get his money's worth, boy.
We'll see. If he can turn this, if he can turn this defensive back room into something, I'm gonna just say it right now. If he could turn his whatever safety and cornerback room right, most likely getting a defensive coordinator job immediately. So
I'm thinking we'll probably try to, with the defense we're running, we'll probably try to have just two corners out there and like a Keontre or one of the three safeties in a slot.
It depends on how the offenses run the offense. They got three fast or shifty receivers. You better have three corners out there because you don't want to trust a safety to guard a shifty or fast receiver. You know what I'm saying? So you just got to match up to the offense, what they got going on.
No, I get that demo. But that's all we got at corner right now, man. I knew that was going to be a struggle, especially with Tyreek out. You know how he's coming, but I knew corner was going to be a struggle. Corner and linebacker. That's what I'm looking at the most this offseason.
I mean, it's spring. You know, like Mario say, man, we doing this to see what we can figure out if we need to bring in anybody else. So
who said blaming off in the background, yo? I hear like
– Man, yeah, you hear that?
That's X?
No, that's me, Rob, man. Somebody car alarm going off. Okay. My fault.
All right. No, it's good. It's good.
I'm trying to think, was that my damn car?
So let's see what we got left. So we went through interior, outside.
I mean, I guess what you want to talk about? Who gonna be special teams or?
We got the safety situated.
We hit all the position groups on defense.
I tell you what, we'll come back to special teams, because I mean we're not gonna break it down to, you know, special teams is a little different animal. So
fielding punts and stuff out there, X?
You say what? Say it again.
Were they like fielding punts out there?
Oh no, they weren't doing none of that though.
Yeah, so they special teams, yeah.
I mean, you know, obviously the special team analysts just got there the day before, so they wasn't really doing
that. Was he out there today?
Yeah, he was out there yesterday.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yesterday, yeah.
Yeah. So, what's up? All right, well, I think, we done went through it. Corners. We did corners.
Yeah, we done hit them everything. Yeah, we ain't really talk about corners too long because we went too much to talk about with corners. I mean, every Miami fan know corners is
a process. Up, right.
Yeah, it's going to be a process.
All right, well, you know, if we miss something, we'll come back and bring it on the next show. We won't hold nobody else. I guess that'll be it for us tonight, man. Your boy's good.
Yeah, we'll probably jump back on Thursday. Yeah.
No doubt. All right. Well, hey, peace and blessings. Thank you for tuning in.
But we ain't let Meezy do his timeline talk.
We're gonna do that Thursday. We're gonna do that
Thursday. Oh, okay.
We'll do it Thursday. We got we'll come back.
Okay, yeah, because I'm gonna give y'all a story Thursday.
Oh hell yeah! Don't they keep in the back pocket?
Yeah,
hell yeah.
Now, authentic story Thursday.
Stories with X.
Real rap, man. All right, man. Hey, thank y'all for tuning in. We'll be back before you know it, man. Real rap.
Love. Man, y'all follow 26 Degrees on Twitter, man. We finna do some things. We may be the younger version of the roll up, but we finna pump it like none of them.
Most death, most death. And we active on Twitter every day now, man. So y'all come parlay with us.
And we appreciate all y'all that do interact with us, man. You got questions, ask questions, all that.
Oh yeah, man, about that question today. Like the one memory or moment against the Gators, like if anybody got something outside of Maurice Sykes, I don't know what to tell you. What did you think?
See, mine was Hester.
Mine was so personal.
Hester was great. First out the bat, that was great.
So somebody mentioned that. Go ahead, Lara.
No, I was just gonna say my 2013 one was so funny because the homie was at the crib and we watched it at the crib. And I said, all right, well, let's play it on NCAA. And he was like, nah, fuck that. I lose again. I'm going to be super pissed off. So, like, he ended up leaving, bro, and went home and did y'all work. And that shit, I'll never forget that. It was the funniest shit ever to me. I was like, yo, this man ready to go cut grass because he just, like, fuck this shit.
Yeah, I saw you tweet that.
That's a true story.
I saw a quick little story. Shout out to whoever said this.
Oh, you talking about Wharton, he was like Tavares Bane.
Yeah.
He was supposed to wear number 4 when he came out of the West, but he ended up wearing number 21 because Hester was coming. Hester was going to wear number 4, yeah.
And he said if Hester can wear number 4 if he take his helmet off, if he return a kick, and Hester took the helmet off.
Listen, they used to make little, like, side personal bets about things they would do in the game, just like that. Like, that's how the old players used to do, man. That Hester moment was great. I ain't gonna lie. I mean, first kickoff.
Come on.
I'm not gonna lie.
But, God damn it, but 102-yard interception is hard and top. Like, come on. The boy drove down all the way to the goal line. They just swear they was finna get in, man. And Maurice Sykes picked that thing off. He ran it. And listen, when you watch the play, it's just so damn, because Sean Taylor is running to help him block. Sean Taylor ran to speed up.
Yeah.
And then he looked back, he sees somebody coming. I'm finna go knock somebody's head off.
Another reason I mentioned the Hester one though is because I don't know if people remember the announcer Hester back there getting ready. The announcer just talking him up. Five-star freshman, Devin Hester, we've been hearing good things. Catch the ball out of there, man. The whole thing was just set up legendary. Legendary, man. Yeah, and the speed he was moving at. And Hester in that number 4, not too many people look like that in that number 4. You know,
yeah, so I mean, back then our players was just different type of players. You know what I'm saying? We knew when we got those players, we knew we was getting probably the best player at their position. You know what I'm saying? So it was hard for something to be duplicated like that. Like, just go back to, I'm not going to go back to the 90s, but just go back, okay, when DJ Williams got there, okay, we knew we got probably the best player in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Number 1 player in the nation.
I set that question up hoping somebody was going to say the French Quarter in New Orleans before the
oh, man, you talk about when the fight. When Ed Reed beat up the defense. Alex Brown. He beat up Alex Brown. And it's so funny because when they tell the story, they were like, damn, man, Alex Brown, black as hell. But how he come in the meeting with black eyes and you can see the black eyes. I was like,
I remember that.
But nah, listen, that was a great question because, and you know, the simple fact that we don't play them every year.
Right.
So it's like we don't have a moment always, but the moments that we can remember.
They live in infamy with us.
Yeah, man. Now that Miles said that about that, oh, man, that was, and we kicked their ass that game, too. We kicked their ass off the field and on the field.
Right.
Like we normally do every time, you know what I'm saying? So. That was a good question, man.
Was that the game Devin Hester blocked that? Somebody blocked it and Devin Hester took off on the sideline? No, that wasn't that game.
Nah, that was no, that was that, that was 2000.
That was
the year that we should have won the damn national championship because they
right.
They made Florida State play in the game and they only scored 2 points.
13-2.
Yeah, they only scored 2 points. How the hell you gonna score 2 points
against Oklahoma? The game I'm thinking about was the Peach Bowl when Hester returned that. Block field goal. That was a Peach Bowl. Okay.
I think that was his freshman year, if I'm not mistaken.
No, that was his sophomore year. That was the year after he returned that kickoff, I believe.
But yeah, that was memories, man. It's people. I think, I don't know if I seen somebody. Somebody said something back from like the 80s, and I was like, oh, shit, come on. Like, I don't even remember playing. I mean, because the Gators really didn't want to play us no more. So we're like, why are we going to remember anything from that decade? But it is what it is, man. That was definitely a good question, man. The questions got people going, man. So they interacting with us, man, and we're going like that. So.
Yeah, Larry, go ahead and wrap it up for us.
All right, well, hey, let's put a bow on it. We're going to come right back to y'all, and we'll get a little bit into what's been going on in spring ball and, you know, give it a little in-depth. Not super, it's super early, but we will be back. Thank you all for tuning in with us, man, hanging out with us. Continue to support us, tell a friend to tell a friend, interact with us. It means everything to us. And you know, love is love, man. Love is love, man. But yeah, welcome to the shop. It's you guys, man. Come back, pull up, get lined up, man. We'll be here.
Yeah, don't forget, man, March 19th, man. I'm doing another homeless feed in Miami, Florida. So if y'all want to get down, just hit me in my DM. Holler at me on Twitter. I am one of the media bloggers that do interact with you guys. So just hit me.
Yeah, pull up on X, showing some love. What's going on?
Absolutely. Proof's in the pudding. X been doing this a while. So, you know, put your money where your mouth is, put your feet on the ground, and just help what people are trying to help. That's all. So, yeah, appreciate you plugging that too, X. We're going to be right back, man, for real. Like we left them keys. Thank you fucking with us. 26 degrees.
Yeah, peace.
Later.
We gonna let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.